The Unfaithful Prophet.
Balaam's failure to pronounce a curse upon the Israelites excited the anger and indignation of King Balak. But the king would not give up easily. He had gone to great lengths to bring Balaam to Moab, and he would yet prevail upon the greedy prophet to find a way to curse Israel. From their position on the mount, the king and Balaam once more behold the Israelites on the plain below them.
From here we can see their entire camp, Balaam.
Oh, so many tents.
There are over 1 million Israelites down there.
Oh, the camp is so orderly. I had been told that the Israelites were a rude, disorganized multitude infesting the country with roving bands that were a pest and terror to the surrounding nations.
They're far from disorganized and rude. Just the contrary. They're well-disciplined and orderly. But they are a pest, all right. A dangerous, supernatural, unpredictable pest.
Oh, Moses, their leader, must be a great man.
He knows how to use magic and supernatural agencies. If those people down there knew what is about to happen, I wonder what they would do. But come, my good man. I can see that the scene is too much for you. I will take you to a...
The king determined to take the prophet to some point where only a small part of the Israelite host might be seen. He believed that if Balaam could be induced to curse Israel in detached groups, the whole camp would soon be devoted to destruction. On the top of an elevation called Pisgah, another trial was made. Again, 7 altars were erected, whereon were placed the same offerings as at the first. But at last, instead of pronouncing a curse, words of blessing fell from his lips. The king of Moab, disheartened and distressed, exclaimed,
"Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all.
Did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do?"
But a faint hope still lingered in the heart of the king, and he determined to make another trial.
"I am going to give you still another chance. Come with me to Mount Peor. There we have a beautiful temple devoted to the worship of Baal. Perhaps it will please your God that you may curse them from there."
"Then build me there 7 more altars and provide me 7 bulls and 7 rams for sacrifices."
When all was in readiness, the nobles and the princes of Moab, with King Balak, stood beside the sacrifice, waiting expectantly, hopefully, for Balaam to pronounce the curse.
"Ah, now Israel will be cursed, and the strange power of the Israelites shall forever be paralyzed."
But Balaam did not curse Israel. Instead, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he blessed them. Included in the blessing was a most beautiful and sublime prophecy of the world's Redeemer to come.
"I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth."
"You blessed them. I called you to curse my enemies, and you have blessed them 3 times. I was going to promote you to great honor, but you... get out of my presence and never let me see you again."
"Oh, I warned you that I could only speak such words as God would put into my mouth."
"Get out. Get out."
"Oh, everything's gone wrong. The king is angry with me. God is displeased with me. My dreams of wealth and honor are gone. My trip to Moab was self-chosen. I didn't have God's sanction. One just can't serve God and mammon." Whoa there.
"Welcome home, master."
"Oh, water and feed the donkey. She's had nothing to eat all day."
"Yes, sir, master."
"Is my wife home?"
"Yes, master. Come along."
She'll be surprised to see me back so soon. "Hello?
Balaam. Oh, I'm so glad you've returned."
"Oh, I'm glad to be back."
"Why don't you close the door and come in and rest? You must be tired after that long journey."
"Yes, I am tired."
You don't sound very happy.
I guess I'm not.
The king didn't promote you to honor and wealth, as he promised?
No.
Oh, well, never mind, dear. We can be just as happy without wealth and honor. Probably even more so.
No, that isn't the point.
What happened, anyway?
I didn't curse Israel. Instead, I blessed them.
You what?
I couldn't help it. When I opened my mouth to curse them, words of blessing came out. It was a strange experience. It happened 3 times. But in my heart, I still wanted to curse them.
The Spirit of God controlled you in Moab and kept you apart from greed and covetousness. The power of God has left you now, and you're right back where you were, greedy and selfish.
Oh, you overdramatize things. It's simply that I deserve honor and wealth, and I'm going to have them.
How?
Somehow. Well, I'll do anything, you hear, to gain the rewards promised by King Balak.
My poor, deluded husband.
I'll think of some way to curse those Israelites and get that reward. There is a way. There must be, and I'll think of it.
Cupidity, greed, what terrible things.
I've got it.
You have what, Balaam, dear?
Oh, I've thought of a way to get back in the favor of King Balak, curse Israel, and receive all the honors and riches promised by the king.
You just won't give up, will you?
Of course not. Why should I? I finally thought of a way to curse Israel so they'll stay cursed.
No one can curse the people of Israel or bring disaster upon them as long as they obey God.
Now, that's just the point, my dear. Israel's prosperity does depend upon obedience to God. But there is absolutely no way to overthrow Israel except by seducing her people into disobeying God.
You really do that?
I'd do anything to get that reward of Balak's.
But enticing Israel into sin is not only greed, it's highly evil, conceived of the devil himself. Oh, but I've nothing to worry about. What makes you think you can entice all the hordes of Israel?
I can, by playing on their weaknesses.
You know their weaknesses?
Yes, all mankind has one weakness in common. Israel is no exception. They shall be enticed.
Balaam, I beg you, do not do this wicked thing.
No use to argue about it. I've made up my mind.
But what will become of you?
I shall become second in power and honor to the king himself.
I don't mean that. I mean what will happen to you in relation to God. Surely he will hold you accountable for any sins you may cause Israel to commit.
Am I Israel's keeper?
We all have a responsibility to our fellow men, and we do
have... Now, enough of this. I shall go to Moab and curry the favor of King Balak. Long live the king! Oh, my dear donkey. Once again, we are on the way to Moab. This time, my mission will be successful. I shall become rich. Rich. And you, you, my dear donkey, I shall put you out to pasture, and you shall have a life of ease. And what would you say to that, if you could talk like you did the last time we journeyed to Moab?
Balaam, prince from Mesopotamia, to see his majesty, great and mighty monarch of all Moab.
Balaam, did I grant him an audience?
I think not, your majesty.
And I won't. I don't wish to see that pretender again. He displays a lot of boldness to come here when I told him I never wanted to see him again.
I am bold, your majesty, but only because I bring with me a gift for his majesty.
I don't wish anything from you.
I bear the greatest gift his majesty could wish for.
I wish only to defeat the Israelites.
That, your majesty, is the very gift I bring.
You offer to conquer Israel?
As a gift.
You tried 3 times and failed.
I shall not fail again, your majesty.
You propose to curse them?
I propose to bring about a, let us say, a curse upon themselves.
Sounds interesting. Audience granted, Balaam. Lackey, clear the court of everyone except the chief princes.
Yes, your majesty. You heard the king's orders. Withdraw to your own quarters immediately.
Now, Balaam, let's hear your proposition. If you succeed in forever paralyzing the strange power of the Israelites, my offer of promotion to great honor and rich rewards still holds. On the other hand, if you fail, well, I...
I won't fail, Your Majesty.
We'll see.
To understand my plan, to understand how and why it will work, you will have to first understand where this strange power you speak about comes from.
It comes from the Israelite God.
The prince is right. Their God is their power.
It naturally follows, then, doesn't it, that as long as the Israelites are true to their God, he will grant them his protection and favor.
And win battles for them.
Now that's logical.
I plan to separate Israel from their God.
You mean make him angry at them so that he'll no longer use his power to shield and protect them?
Precisely.
The plan has merit. I have only one question.
How to separate Israel from God so that he will withdraw his protection?
Obviously you realize the difficulties involved.
Difficulties? Oh, no, Your Majesty. All we have to do is get Israel to disobey God.
But I understand they are very faithful in obeying him.
True, Your Majesty, true. Yet there is one area in which they, like all people everywhere, are vulnerable.
Be more explicit. Come to the point.
One of the main commandments of God is that his people shall have no other gods before them. We will cause Israel to worship your god, Baal. Israel's God will then desert them, and they will become easy prey of your armies.
You consider getting Israel to worship strange gods an easy task?
Oh, relatively, yes.
Balaam, I like the plan, and I appoint you to work out its details.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
I still don't understand the plan or how it will work.
You will.
Keep me informed, Balaam.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Dismissed, both of you. You may withdraw.
Thank yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king. You really believe you can cause Israel to disobey their God?
I'm sure of it.
It seems impossible that one man alone could bring the downfall of an entire nation.
Well, I'll tell you, Prince. You come to my apartment this afternoon, and I'll go into detail just how I'm going to do it. All right?
I'll be there.
Yes?
I am one of Balak's princes. Balaam is expecting me.
Oh, yes, follow me, please. He's in there. Go right in.
Thank you. Balaam.
Oh, good afternoon, Prince. I see you made it all right.
Yes, and I'm anxious to hear your plan.
Sit down, Prince. Wine?
Yes, please.
Wine, please. This should be good wine. It's from the king's private stock.
Oh, you do rate.
Soon I'll be second in power and honor to the king himself.
If you successfully curse the Israelites.
Your wine, gentlemen.
Lady Phileas.
Lady-in-waiting to the queen.
But what is she doing here?
You wish details of my plan to overthrow the Israelites?
Yes, but I don't see what that
listen
has to do...
Listen carefully.
But Lady Phileas...
She is part of the plan.
I don't understand. But go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, to begin with, what is the greatest motivating power on earth?
Power yielded by the gods?
I mean human.
You tell me.
Well, there are two basic human motivations, and only two, love and greed.
I'm not agreeing, but go ahead.
Greed is evil and of Satan. Now, love is good and is of God. They are directly opposed to each other and cannot exist together. That is why, if we can get Israel to commit evil, God cannot remain with them. When they lose God, they will lose their power, and our armies can prevail against them.
Yes, 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 I know all that, but what I want to know is how you're going to accomplish this.
Oh, through Lady Phileas.
You, Lady Phileas?
Me.
And the help of every beautiful woman of Moab and Midian. Lady Phileas is going to organize those women into groups and lead them in an active campaign against the Israelite men.
I'm beginning to understand.
These women, one by one, will slip into the Israelite camp. It will be done so subtly that it will excite no alarm or in any way attract the attention of the Israelite leaders, especially Moses.
A wise plan, don't you think, Prince?
Diabolical.
These women will win the friendship of the Israelite men. Now, once their confidence and friendship is won, our women will begin to talk about Baal. They will make Baal worship appear glamorous and dramatic. In time, the men of Israel will begin to follow the suggestions of our women, and they will attend the heathen rites and engage in idol worship. Then our armies will strike and win.
I'll admit I don't see any fault with the plan, Balaam. That is, if Lady Phileus can organize our women and direct them.
You underestimate the power and discipline of women.
Then you think you can do it?
I'm positive.
Oh, there are many things that I'll do to help. For one thing, the Israelites consider me a prophet of the true God. Now, consequently, I have some influence over them. I'll see some of them, talk to them. First, I will make certain arrangements with King Balak. I therefore suggest, Your Majesty, that you proclaim a great festival in honor of your god Baal to be held very soon. And because of my influence, I shall be able to persuade many of the Israelites to attend the festivities.
It is so ordered, Balaam. Prince, I order you to make the necessary arrangements.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And Balaam, I hear good reports of the progress of our women in infiltrating the ranks of the enemy.
Oh, it is true, Your Majesty. The Israelite men are falling easy prey to the wiles of our women and their charms. Oh, many of the Israelites have already been led into idolatrous worship.
Moses isn't aware of what's going on?
Oh, no, Your Majesty. He is too busy with other details. People of Israel, may I have your attention now, please? You are Israelites, and I am of Mesopotamia. Yet for many years, I have worshipped the same God you do, the God of Abraham. Furthermore, as you know, I have served as a prophet of God.
You are also a friend of Balak, king of Moab. He is our enemy. I understand that you're a member of his court, so what do you want with us, Balaam?
Balak is your enemy? Oh, no. You are his enemy. You fear him. You fear him because you do not know or understand him.
He worships Baal, a false god. We cannot be friends with a heathen, an idol worshiper.
Oh, Balak and his people do worship Baal. Baal is a false god. I admit that. I know it. I know it because I have seen people in the act of worshipping Baal. But have you? No. How can you be sure, then, that Baal is a false god? By hearsay only. Well, that is hardly fair. While you are here, camped in the very midst of Baal worshippers, you should see for yourselves. Then you will know of an assurance that Baal is a false god, and that the God of Abraham is the true God. Your faith and belief in God will be strengthened. By beholding evil, you will know what is good.
Your words have the ring of truth, Prophet Balaam. Long live Balaam!
Therefore, for your own good, I suggest that you attend a great feast and festival soon to be held by the people of Moab in honor of their god, Baal. Well, you need not enter into the festivities, nor actually worship Baal. But King Balak has assured me that there will be music, wine, and feasting for your special benefit and entertainment.
I'll be there, Balaam!
Yes, oh, I.
Girls, your attention, please. You're all here, as you know, to make final plans for the feast and celebration of Baal. First, I want to congratulate you. Many Israelite men are already openly worshiping our gods in preference to their god.
We did it for our country and our king. Long live the king!
Yes, long live the king!
Well, Balaam, who originated the plan, sends his personal greetings and congratulations.
Hooray for Balaam!
But best of all, girls, your king, King Balak, the great and mighty king of Moab, is personally aware of the efforts that you've made for him and your country. And he, too, sends his personal greetings and congratulations.
Long live the king!
All that you have done in the past to persuade Israel into worshiping Baal will be finalized in the forthcoming feast and celebration. You'll cause the downfall of two Israelites, where you have caused only one in the past. We expect thousands and thousands of Israelites there, and through your influence, we expect to seduce them to offer sacrifices to Baal and worship him. Then our armies will attack, and that will be the end of the Israelites. All because you women of Baal have done your duty for your king and your country.
Hail to our Balak! Long live the king!
Long live the king!
You may come forward, Prince Balaam.
Long live the king.
I am told, Prince Balaam, that everything is in readiness for the final blow to the Israelites.
Oh, yes, Your Majesty. Tomorrow begins the Feast of Baal. By its end, Israel's God will have deserted them, and they will be easy prey for our soldiers.
You are sure of success?
Yes, Your Majesty. Your womenfolk have opened the way for the Israelites to become familiar with Baal worship. Iniquitous scenes have been enacted before them until their minds have become accustomed to idolatrous practices. They have come to know and to love a life of ease and inaction. These things have produced a demoralizing effect. They are ripe to fall easy prey to the temptations we are going to shower upon them in the feast and celebration of Baal.
Well done, Prince Balaam.
The great feast and celebration to the god Baal began. There was music and dancing. Great numbers of Israelites joined Balaam in witnessing the festivities. At first, they watched from a distance. Then, little by little, they drew closer. Finally, they ventured upon the forbidden grounds itself. Thus, they began to become entangled in Satan's snare. Unable to resist the music and dancing, and allured by heathen rites, the Israelites cast off their fidelity to God and joined in the wild festivities. Indulgence and mirth, feasting and wine beclouded Israel's senses and broke down their barriers of self-control. Having thus defiled their consciences, they were persuaded to bow down to idols.
Come on now, bow down to Baal. What harm can it do?
Baal isn't the true God.
Of course he isn't. So what harm can it do to bow down to him?
Oh, all right, if you want me to, I'll do it. Sure, I'll do it.
Casting caution to the winds, the Israelites joined in offering sacrifices upon heathen altars and participated in the most degrading rites. When Moses learned of this, he was filled with righteous indignation, and the wrath of God was kindled. By swift coming judgments, the people were awakened to the enormity of their sin. A terrible pestilence broke out in the camp, to which tens of thousands speedily fell a prey. God commanded that the leaders in this apostasy be put to death by the magistrates. All felt that the punishment was just, and the people hastened to the tabernacle and with tears and deep humiliation confessed their sin.
Lord, help us, Lord. Oh, God, hear us.
And God's wrath was appeased, and he once again became their divine leader and protector. Meanwhile, the unfaithful prophet, Balaam, continues with his plans.
Oh, well, my dear, I've got to go. I'm going to join the king's forces in battle against the Israelites.
You are going to war, but you're not a soldier. You know nothing of fighting battles.
Well, but I am a prince of Moab now. As such, it is my duty to be at the head of the fighting.
But you'll be fighting against your own people and against God.
The Israelites aren't my people anymore. And God? What has he ever done for me? Anyway, after this one battle, I can retire and enjoy the riches of Moab. I'll have honor, wealth, and riches. We can sit back and enjoy life.
You are greedy.
I just want my just dues, that's all. I'll see you after the battle.
to enjoy the fruits of my greed, as you call it.
Yes?
I'm a prince of Moab.
Yes, I know who you are. What do you want?
I just came from the battlefront and I... Well, your husband, Prince Balaam.
What about my husband?
Prince Balaam was killed.
Killed.
Foolish are they who trust in wealth and boast themselves in riches.